Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a wonderful Wednesday today. Weather's been quite strange down here in Florida. It rains and then it gets super sunny and then it monsoons and then it gets super sunny, which, I mean, Florida's always a little weird with stuff like that, but it's been very odd today, just very odd. Other than that, though, how are you doing today, Dan?
Austin, I'm doing good. I want to talk about some weird stuff for a second. You know, I'm going to talk to you guys about something that's going to sound really strange, but it's going to make sense, I hope, by the time I get done speaking about it. A few years ago, I was driving up and looking at some property in Georgia, and I was driving in this back road with the realtor and Sharon, and all of a sudden, I got this. We drove through an area, and it got real chilled in the car. It got real cold. I mean, like instantaneous. It got real, just like something weird had happened, and I felt in my spirit that something really bad had happened in that area where I was driving through, maybe a Civil War thing, maybe a mass murder, maybe something happened, I don't know. And it was really strange because it was almost like there was a ripple in time space. I told you guys it was going to be a weird little morning to start with the show on this stuff. And, you know, and so we got to talk about that. We got to talk about haunted houses for a second. We've got to talk about demon possession. We've got to talk about people that bring stuff into your house that you need to get rid of when they leave. That kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about bringing you luggage. I'm talking about bringing you weird, like, demons with them. You say, well, do you believe that everything's demonically possessed? It could be. I said, no, not at all. I believe a lot of things happen because we live in an energy field. Now, I'm not saying that demons aren't real, because I believe that they can be very real, because Jesus actually cast demons out of people. But what I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes certain energy fields are affected by other people's energy fields. It's kind of like we've talked about this many, many times. When a person comes next to you, your heart throws out about a 20-foot energy field around the body. And if a person's energy field isn't right with your energy field, it kind of affects you and you can feel it. And you have an instant repulsion to this person and you want to get away from them. Now, you guys have all met people like that. If you haven't, I have. Take my word on it. It's real. And then you also meet people sometimes that, you know, your energy field is synchronistic with theirs. It's in sync, so to speak, and you enjoy hanging out with them. You know, I've got my friends that I've had for 40 years, and I haven't seen them sometimes in 5 or 6 years. They come back over, and it's as if we had never missed a beat. You know, we've been calling each other every day, and our energy fields are still completely and totally synchronistic. But what ends up happening is this, and I'm saying something very important today, and this is from a spiritual standpoint. The Bible is very clear, and it says, don't be unequally yoked. Come ye out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And the reason I'm saying all of this is so many times we bring people into our homes or into our lives that aren't mutually compatible with us. In other words, they don't have our spiritual values. They don't have our social values. They don't have our upbringing values. They don't have our moral values. They don't have anything. They're just different people. We don't know who they are. You got to be really, really careful with us, guys. You know, you guys are my family. You're listening to the show every day. So, you know, I can talk to you like this, and it kind of makes sense to you guys because we talk about energy fields all the time. But when you bring somebody in the house, let's say a person who comes in the house is just a pervert, and you don't know they're a pervert. They're looking at stuff on the internet they shouldn't be looking at. They've got this stuff, these really negative energy fields hanging on them. Call them demons. Call them whatever you want. Could this be an energy field? It could be a demon. And when they come into your energy field, it has a tendency to create a ripple or a space that's bad. And you say, well, that sounds really weird. I'm not telling you it wasn't weird. I'm just telling you this is what happens sometimes. And so the Bible says very clearly not to be around people like this. Also, Jesus said, you know, some of these demons have to be cast out only through prayer and fasting. And now, do I believe that everything that happens like that's a demon? No, I don't. I believe that because we're in an energetic field in the universe, that we have things that can disrupt that field. Like I said earlier, like a really big battle, maybe in the Civil War, and a lot of people died. And there's an energetic field tear in time-space, and you can feel that when you step into it. Be led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, something's wrong here. You can feel it. I don't want to be part of this. You know, one time I remember we went into a house, Austin, another realtor up in North Carolina, Georgia, and it was an older house, and it felt wrong when we walked into it, just wrong. I could feel something because I'm real sensitive to this. And I told Sharon, I said, I don't even want to look at this house. There's something wrong here. And sure enough, you know, Sharon says, well, I feel something too. And there was a dark hallway and going down a dark set of stairs. And I said, I have no interest in going down there. something's wrong with this place. And you think, okay, what's wrong? I don't know. Well, as we're walking out the door, there's a bunch of these Indian dream catchers on the wall, which is really, I'm not going to get into that. If you don't know what those are, you don't need to know. And also there's like sacrificed birds and stuff that have been sacrificed laying on the countertops. I'm not kidding you. Something really weird, whether it was some kind of weird occult thing going on in the house, I don't know, but I could feel it. And, you know, and this stuff leaves like a resonance field behind it when you do things like this. It's like if you ever go into a house that's had seances that have been done, there's no telling what you're going to run into in a place like that, including real demons and real entities. So I'm telling you this just as a Christian, okay? Come ye out from among them. Be ye separate. Don't hang out with people who are involved in weird stuff. I mean, you don't really want to be associated with them. And if you do really run into something that's bad in your house, or you know somebody's been in there who's been doing some things they shouldn't have been doing, do go ahead and cleanse the house. Now, you know, I'm talking about a spiritual cleansing now. Plead the blood of Christ over the house. Station angels around the house. You know, put a hedge of thorns around the house. Anoint the doorposts of the house if you have to. You're saying, well, Ted, you're sounding really weird. I told you to start with it was going to be really weird. But guys, this stuff is real. These entities in these other dimensions are real. These ripples in time-space are real. These eddies that we get involved in, these things that we get around, are real. And if you get around enough bad people, you start getting sucked into their energy field, and you start doing what they do. In other words, that's why the Word says to us that bad company will corrupt good character. And I talked about this a couple of days ago. Maybe that's why it's still on my heart. Is that, you know, when you have kids, you've got to protect your children from being around people that can drag them into a ditch. And also, if you have kids that are going sideways on you, you need to protect your friends' kids from your kids dragging your other friends' kids into a ditch. Now, you heard me say that right. You can't be the parent that won't allow someone else to say to you, hey, you know what, you know, your kid got my kid to look at pornography on the internet. And, you know, and that's bad. And, you know, you need to talk to your kid because now my kid's got this issue because your kid brought it into my house. If that kind of stuff's going on and you're not dealing with it, or you don't think it could possibly be your child, you need to really reevaluate it. Maybe put a filter or a block on their internet access and not allow them to have access to that. Because guys, our children are being exposed to so much stuff and so much horrible stuff on an ongoing basis online in the schools. The schools are teaching them that, you know, homosexuality is okay. The schools are making them, in some cases, watch pornography movies. I mean, they're bringing all of this stuff into our children on purpose. Like Charlotte Iserby said, it's the intentional dumbing down of our country. And we've got to protect our children. We've got to protect our families. We've got to protect our wives. We've got to protect ourselves. And if we have stuff like that that we know happened in our home, or that we found out that somebody was doing something in our home they shouldn't be doing it, it's important that we pray over our homes and we command that any of this stuff leaves our house. And it will. It has to. It has no choice. Because remember, when you're a Christian, when you're in covenant with God Almighty, and you're connected to God Himself through the Holy Spirit, God shares with you some of His omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence. Now, I'm talking about a billionth of 1%, okay? I'm talking about hardly anything. But what He does, He gives you authority over this stuff. And that's why the Bible says that we have the authority through Christ, because we're in covenant with God Almighty, because Christ has the authority. And so it's through Christ, through the Holy Spirit, that we're able to go to God, you know, and talk to Him into the throne room and not have to go through an intermediary like a priest. We go directly to God. And because we have that authority and that ability, it's a covenant that we have. It's a blood covenant through Jesus. And guys, it's so important that we understand who and what we are in Christ Jesus. If we've got something oppressing us, something that's messing with us, you don't have to put up with it. All you have to do is bind it in the name of Jesus, whether it's alcohol, whether it's pornography, whether it's cigarette smoking, whether it's a bad temper, whether it's any of these things. And you can put your own list together, you know, whatever you want to think about. You've got to remember that we have authority over all of this stuff, and we don't have to tolerate this stuff having a hold on us. It's not necessary as a Christian. But then again, we can't associate with people who routinely practice this kind of stuff and think it's okay, and think it's not going to affect us as far as how we see the world and the energy field that's around us. Does that make any sense, Austin?
Yeah, it was a great talk, bud.
Okay, great. Okay, we're back to 119 billion, 50,900,000 merchandise trade deficit with China hit a new record through April. I mean, this is the first 4 months. The largest trade deficit ever in the United States. It's unbelievable. We exported $42 billion to those guys, and we imported $161 billion, which means we have this giant trade deficit coming from China, which means they are extracting the wealth out of our country, and we're having to borrow money from the Federal Reserve to continue in our deficit spending, which allows the United States to be sold off like it's some kind of cheap prostitute to the world. And Trump can't do much with China because we already know that he's already capitulated on the trade sanctions he's going to put on. Why? Because we owe them trillions of dollars of debt that they bought from our government to finance these giant deficits that we've been running through our Congress, guys. So we basically, as the Bible says, the borrower is servant to the lender. What do you think, Oz?
That's exactly what's going on, and that's one of the reasons why we've talked about before that they did not implement the tariffs like they were supposed to. And China is not going to reduce a lot of their stuff. They reduced, you know, the vehicles slightly, a few other things, and it's negligible on the amount. But it's one thing Dad just said that's so accurate. We have so much money going out of the country on a regular basis, and China's a huge part of that because of the trade deficit. But it's not even just China. I mean, China trade deficit, you know, pushing almost $400 billion a year. We have that with other countries we're constantly sending money out to. We have hundreds of billions of dollars every year we're sending out in foreign aid to countries that we're not even getting anything for. We're not even getting vehicles for. We're not even getting cheap China products for. We simply just send them money because they demand that we send them more money. With Israel, for example, $50 billion in military aid for free. For free. They don't give us diamonds. They don't send us oil. They don't send us Mercedes. They don't give us land. They simply demand we give them money and we capitulate because Israel tells us what to do and we listen. That's just the way it goes. Then you have other aspects of it, and this has been something that's been going on that's quite prevalent for years, is with the illegal immigration that has gotten so big in this country, where we have now millions upon millions of illegal immigrants that don't have any ability to work here legally, and they all get paid cash. I mean, everybody's seen it. I've worked in construction when I was younger. We live around Orange Groves. It's prevalent. It is what it is, but the problem is it's not just on a small scale anymore. In most cases now, they've basically estimated that we're losing anywhere from $40 to $150 billion a year in just straight cash that's leaving the United States and going into other countries, primarily Mexico and countries south of the border, that with families to send money down there all the time, all year long. People that come up here, work for a couple years, go back, and so forth. And I've seen it firsthand, and it's not uncommon whatsoever. So we're in this state where we're constantly pushing money out to this avenue, pushing out to this country, pushing out to this area. And so we're hemorrhaging cash left and right, hence why we have to continue to borrow trillions upon trillions of dollars a year. And they know this. And his dad just said, the borrower is always servant to the lender. And that's exactly what we have got ourselves wrapped up in now. Also, too, this is interesting that I found. I read this today. As you guys know, Bayer is essentially purchasing Monsanto this week. It's expected to finish off the $62.5 billion cash purchasing deal of Monsanto, and it will be retiring the infamous Monsanto name. Even the name Monsanto becomes a thing in the past. The dirty deeds and hazardous products will continue to flood our system. As the merger of Monsanto and Bayer close clear, Bayer has blatantly revealed now that once combined, the name Monsanto will cease to exist. Instead, Monsanto and its products will simply become part of what would be called the Bayer family, including relabeling of the Roundup name. Monsanto may disappear, but that will not stop Bayer from pushing their products. So what they've seen now, and they know this from their monitoring of everything, especially with the ability to buy stuff as far as buy information from the social media companies. Do you think Facebook, you know, is only selling their information to, you know, iPhones and Apple and Samsung and stuff like that? They sell everybody's information on Facebook to the highest bidder. And they continue to sell everybody's information as the bidding goes down to as many people as they want. The same thing is with all these different avenues that are continuing to monitor us. Bayer knows that people hate Monsanto now. Majority of the population in the United States is awake as far as about Monsanto, about Roundup, about all this stuff. People are starting to wake up. Bayer does not want to deal with the Monsanto name and the pushback that they're going to get by acquiring this company. They want to turn this into essentially a globalist company, which it pretty much already is, but it's going to be even larger now, and the ability to control anything and everything that comes out of it and completely rebrand GMOs, Monsanto, glyphosate, Roundup, you name it, they're going to rebrand it, and they're going to say, oh, this is a rebranded formula. This is a non-toxic formula now. Don't worry about it. We know Monsanto did some shady things in the past. We know Roundup wasn't very good for you, but that's okay. We've acquired them now. We've fixed it. It is completely and totally safe for you to use. Do not worry. Go back to sleep. Don't ask any more questions. We're telling you it's all good now. And at the same time, they will not even tweak the formula if they don't want to. They'll simply change the name, and that right there will be enough to constitute the changing of the product. So it's crazy to me these guys actually getting away with this, and this has been approved for this basically buyout, but it is definitely something we all saw coming, as we're seeing huge companies like Bayer, like Amazon, literally come in and just suck up the market with a vacuum and not have anybody else in the area at all, so they can completely and totally control the market, Dad.
Well, that's what they always do. It's the mergers and acquisitions, like Gerald Celente says. I mean, they're trying their best to consolidate. See, yesterday, I talked about the different companies, a couple of companies, the investment companies that control the planet. I've got a lot of emails on all that, so let me kind of go into that a bit more. These big four companies control the world. You probably never heard of them. Some people started realizing there are large financial groups that dominate the world. These are all Rothschild-dominated companies. You'll see that in a second. Forget the political intrigues, conflicts, revolutions, wars. It's not purely chance. Everything's being planned. Some call it conspiracy theories or a new world order. Anyway, the key to understanding different current political and economic events is restricted to a core of families who have accumulated more wealth and power. There we go. We're speaking of 6, 8, or maybe 12 families, including the Rothschilds, who are the head of this as far as the central banking, who truly dominate the world. Now remember, a lot of these 12 are also Rothschild controlled. But not be far from the truth by calling Goldman Sachs, the Rockefeller, Loeb's Coup, Lehman's in New York, the Rothschilds of Paris and London, the Warburgs of Hamburg, Paris, and the Lazards, Israel, Mosef, Seif out of Rome. Many people have heard of the Bilderberger Group, the Trilateral Commission, but what are the names of the families who run the world and have control stakes of the international organizations like the United Nations, NATO, the IMF, or who runs and owns the Federal Reserve in the United States and other world banks? To try to get an answer to this, we can start with the easiest inventory of the world's largest banks and see who the shareholders are and who makes the decisions. The world's largest companies are now Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, by the way, all Rothschild controlled. Let us now review who their shareholders are. Bank of America, State Street, Vanguard, BlackRock, we talked about all these the other day, Paulson, J.P. Morgan, etc. J.P. Morgan, who owns J.P. Morgan? State Street again. Vanguard, BlackRock again. Citigroup, State Street Corporation, Vanguard, BlackRock again, J.P. Morgan. Wells Fargo, Berkshire Hathaway, BlackRock, Wellington Management, State Street again, Vanguard Group again. We can now see there appears to be a nucleus present in all banks, State Street, Vanguard, BlackRock, and FMR Fidelity. So to avoid saying these over and over again, we're going to call them the Big Four. Goldman Sachs, the Big Four, Wellington Capital Group, World Investors, AXA, Massachusetts Financial Services and Row, they're the ones who own Goldman Sachs. So the Big Four own Goldman Sachs. Morgan Stanley, primarily group, the Big Four. Bank of New York Mellon, Davis Selected, Massachusetts Financial Service, and the Big Four. State Street Corporation, the Big Four. Everything. BlackRock, another of the Big Four. PNC Barclays. Okay, who's behind PNC Barclays? You got it. BlackRock, State Street, the Big Four. And who's behind Barclays? BlackRock. All owned through the Rothschild interlocking corporate directorships and stock purchases. I've told you guys this 100 times. And if we go on for hours, passing by tax havens in the Cayman Islands, Monaco or the legal domicile of shell companies in Liechtenstein, a network where companies are always the same, but never a name of the family. In short, the eight largest U.S. financial companies, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Bank of America, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, U.S. Bank Corporation, Bank of New York Mellon, and Morgan Stanley are 100% controlled, get this guys, by 10 shareholders. And we have four companies always present in all decisions. Here we go, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and Fidelity. All Rothschild-controlled corporations. This is why the media is controlled by all that. In addition, the Federal Reserve is comprised of 12 banks. Now, here it goes. Get ready for this. This is our Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is comprised of 12 banks represented by a board of seven people, which compromises representatives. Guess what? The Big Four. Nuts. In short, the Federal Reserve is controlled by four large private companies, BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard, and Fidelity. And these companies control, these by Rothschild companies, and these companies control the U.S. monetary policy. Here we go. And world monetary policy without any control or democratic choice. These companies launched and participated in the current worldwide economic crisis and managed to become even more enriched. Now, to finish, a look at some of the companies controlled by the Big Four. I'm just going to give you a couple of them. These are other companies. Alcoa, AT&T, Boeing, Caterpillar, Coca-Cola, DuPont, Exxon, GE, General Motors. There you go. Remember the big bailout? Hewlett-Packard. Yep. Home Depot, Honeywell, Intel, International Business Machine Corp, Johnson & Johnson, J.P. Morgan Chase, McDonald's, Merck, Microsoft, 3M, Pfizer, Procter & Gamble, United Technologies, Verizon, there you go, now you understand what the 5G thing's all around with Verizon, Walmart, Time Warner, Disney, Viacom, Murdoch, CBS, NBC, all controlled by the same Big Four. All of them, Rothschild controlled and dominated. In addition, all of these people run large financial institutions such as the International Monetary Fund, they control that, the European Central Bank, the World Bank, and they were trained and remain employees of the Big Four. Unbelievable. However, the names of the families that control the Big Four never appear because it's primarily the Rothschild and their associated families. Guys, this is what we talk about. And this is why every single time I say we've got to come back to the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who are the Luciferians, who are the Rothschilds, who are the Druids, who have worked through these organizations for thousands of years to get this type of systematic control over the entire planet. Guys, it's awful. But this is who it is. And when people ignore this and they don't talk about it like we do on our show, it's because their sponsors don't want them to talk about it. There you go. I'm telling you. I know people right now that are involved in alternative media that are sponsored by the companies that own the Big Four, and they're told there's certain things they cannot talk about. Let me give you another example. I've got a good friend of mine, and he's a big radio TV personality. Called me up today, and we were talking. He was offered another huge job. And huge pay, huge money. And he basically told me, he says, I turned the job down. And I said, well, why'd you turn it down? He goes, well, they had too many caveats on the job. And I said, well, what were the caveats? They said, well, number one, I couldn't talk about Christianity. I said, you couldn't talk about Christianity? He goes, no. He said, I couldn't even say that I go to church. They told me that I couldn't talk about going to church. And they told me that I could never talk about Easter. Now, you know, it's funny. I'm going to stop for a second. A few years ago, I was on with George Norrie. On Coast to Coast. I've been on his show several times. And the last time I was on with him, I wanted to talk to him about this. I was doing it right like on Easter weekend. And since it was Easter weekend, I thought this would be a good time to talk about Jesus Christ. Now remember, Norrie has witches on. He has coven heads on. He has the weirdest of the weird of the weirdos on. When you're on his show, you have to deal with people who think they're Captain Kirk on the Starship Enterprise or coming from another galaxy far, far away to try to help you. I kid you not. And they will call your office into oblivion until somebody gets me to call them back because they can't take it anymore. Fact. Okay? So you get these, you get the land of fruits and nuts and flakes on George Norrie's show. Now, I like George. I've been on the show multiple times. And you get a huge response every time you're on there because he has like 300 stations that pick him up. But when I brought up the blood of Christ and Jesus and the resurrection on Easter weekend, I was told I was not allowed to speak about it. To the point, he got fussy with me and told his producer, tell Todd Brower that he is not talking about that on the show. Now, why? Is George that diametrically opposed to me talking about Christ on a show? No. I don't believe that for a second. But his sponsors are. So yep. The same guys who run the media, they tell my buddy today, or last week when he turned down their offer, can't talk about Jesus, can't talk about church, can't talk about Christianity, can't talk about Easter, can't talk about any of it, and you can't talk about gun control or Second Amendment rights. And you can never say anything positive about Donald Trump. Nothing. You can never say anything positive. You can slam Donald Trump all you want, but you can't say anything about Donald Trump. Basically, my friend told me because Donald Trump is neither Democrat or Republican. He's trying to go down the middle with this thing, trying to fix it from both sides. And the problem with that is they hate Donald Trump because he's doing this. Hence why the media has prosecuted him via the airwaves through intense persecution for the past year and a half. And they don't even want to give him a chance to get past the Mueller investigation because they don't want to pull the pressure off of him because they hate him so much because he wants to make America great again, or was his mantra and his campaigns. But now they're trying to force him back into their mold. He's basically a round peg trying to go into a square hole. And then he's not fitting. And so they don't want him in there any longer. They want him out. So my friend was told that he couldn't talk about any of these things. Why? The big four. Rothschild control, Sabbatain control, Luciferian control. This is who runs the media, guys. This is what they want. They have an atavistic hatred to Christianity. They hate and loathe Christians. And they tell my friend, they offer this big job, but they put all of these caveats on what he can and can't say, or they will simply pull him off the air and he will violate his contract and he will probably never work in media again if he violates that. Guys, this is the type of control that this big four exerts in the radio, TV industry. So when they hear a show like this, they're like having brain hemorrhages everywhere. They cannot believe this is happening, that I'm talking to you guys like this with such a huge audience that we have now, because I'm not playing any games with you guys. I already talked to you about negative energy fields and how to get rid of them at the beginning of the show. Now I'm telling you who runs the planet, and it all goes back to what we talk about all the time. It's the spiritual battle. Again, these guys are wizards. These are Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferian wizards. That's what they consider themselves. They don't see money as paper or gold. They see it as an energy flow coming towards them. That's how they see it in their weird wizard world, okay? Because they see it from an energetic substance, kind of like you would see in the Matrix when Neo finally sees where he is and he sees all the energy fields around him and he starts to understand how the energy is working when he's in the Matrix. That's how they see it, as an energy field around the planet with the flow coming to them, and they want to control the energy flow. That's who these guys are. That's the Babylonian money magic they've learned from the Luciferian angels, the fallen angels, from the very beginning. And that's why until we get rid of our Federal Reserve System in the United States and take these strangleholds off the United States, we are never going to free ourselves from the bondage that this group of people have caused us and this planet. Austin, what do you think?
Well said, man. Yeah, I mean, that was a really good breakdown on that, because this is something that a lot of people, I think, fail to realize, how just a very, very few key select control everything. And the fact that they told your buddy, who was trying to basically take that job or was considering taking it, about those topics he could not talk about, that shows you right there that those are the topics that we have to keep talking about. That right there shows you why they have such a hatred towards Donald Trump. Because, you know, if they keep what they're doing with the stupid Mueller thing, with the Russian investigation, they're going to do everything they can to run this whole thing through the entire presidency if they get a chance to do so with the stinking low-life media right now. You watch and see. We're already halfway through 2018, guys. Guess what's going to start next year? Guess what starts next year? Presidential election running stuff again. They're going to start campaigning. You're going to start seeing the stupid commercials. All the stuff's going to start hitting the media, and all that stuff is going to keep pushing on the media, all the investigation stuff continually, because as Dad just said, they don't want him making America great again. They already had America so broken down and so submissive after Barack Obama that they had done such a good job of that, they were ready to bring in the Witch of Benghazi and have her basically do the final cutthroat on the United States, and they were going to put her in for probably 8 years and do everything they could to make it as horrific as possible in this country. Now, one thing you talked about a minute ago, Dad, too, that from the beginning of the show, that really ties into this, because I saw this article the other day, and what we're seeing now is that the people that are awake and trying to talk to people that are not awake, it can be difficult. And so this is something that we also have to factor in too, is that everybody has to start bringing up these topics all the time, because these are the topics that clearly they don't want getting brought up. As Dad just said, they told him he could not bring these up if he wanted this contract. Those are the caveats with it, meaning these are the topics that we have to start discussing all the time, because they're going to do everything they can to slowly start completely and totally wiping the alternative media off the scene. They do not want us on here. Remember, at the beginning of the week, I already talked to you guys about the DHS solicitation for the Media Monitoring Service database, where basically a contractor was going to have to be the ability to view 290,000 global news sources every single basically week, including online, print, broadcast, cable, radio, trade, social media, everything in 100 different languages, monitor the public activities of media members and influencers, locations, all this stuff 24/7, so they can understand all the stuff that's going on. Well, now another article came out today. According to Mediate, DHS now is planning on giving anti-government stories sentiment ratings. The DHS spokesperson told Mediate in discussion that awareness of whether a report is positive or negative will help decision makers to monitor how the public feels about certain policies and, if needed, clear up misconceptions. According to the DHS story, sentiment is exactly what the database will track. Sentiment analysis will help DHS decide how the public feels about the government, whether it's negative, whether it's neutral, whether it's positive. They went on to say that DHS wants to track any and all media coverage related to the Department of Homeland Security or any particular event. Now, if you guys already know, since 9/11, pretty much in the United States, we pretty much are resembling communist Russia, just on a different level of technology now. After 2011, we lost pretty much almost all of our rights. I mean, they went out the window. I mean, we have a resemblance of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights left, that we still try to fight for, and a lot of people in the judiciary system and a lot of people basically in the policing system still are great people, and they're trying to make sure we retain those rights. But it's funny, because 3 years ago, The Atlantic published an account of what life was like under the KGB in the 1980s. And they went on to say, it's a quote from it, it said, "Our phones were tapped, our apartments were bugged, our mail was open, and we assumed that our government-provided housekeepers filed frequent reports on us." This is from the KGB, Communist Russia, from the 1980s. Now, for comparison's sake, all you have to do is change that and reflect on what life is like in America now. Our cell phones are tapped, our apartment is bugged with Amazon voice activated devices and every single type of smart speaker you could possibly come up with. Our emails and texts are opened up now without any question or regard, and our government provided smart devices, meaning our iPhones and Androids, report on us, spy on us, and track our every single whereabouts. And if they don't do it, every single camera system with facial recognition software monitors and watches everything you do every chance it gets. So, explain to me how we have not already gone down this road. The problem is the alternative media for the globalist. Because what we're doing on this show, what the Hagman does, what Hodges does, what all of us do to try to make the very best out of this and wake up as many people as possible drives these guys nuts, because they cannot completely control the narrative of what the population thinks when we're out here talking about Jesus, talking about guns, talking about freedom, talking about exercising your rights, talking about eating healthy, talking about stay away from vaccines. That does not go with their narrative, and they hate it, and they're doing everything they can to buy up every single station, every type of broadcast. As Dad just talked about, the big four, as we see Amazon, as we see Bear, as we see these guys, they're all completely and totally sucking up everything around us, and that's why it's so important that everybody supports us as much as possible, supports the Hagmann Show, all the alternative media, guys. We have to stick together, and we have to rely on our supporters, our constitutional patriot Americans, to basically take care of us and spread the word and wake up as many people as possible, Dad, because that's where we're at right now. We do not have any more time with this. After 2011, as that article just said, America completely and totally changed, and it was not for the better.
Well, 2011 was a big year, but 2001 is when it really started with the invasion of Iraq.
2001, excuse me, yes.
And you know, and what happened with 2001, you know, with the Patriot Act. And I, and you remember when you were young, when the Patriot Act hit, I was raising H.E. double sticks about the Patriot Act. And I said, don't you people understand what this is? This is the Enabling Act. This is the same act that was passed by Hitler's Germany after the false flag of the burning of the Reichstag. Even if it wasn't a false flag and the Russians actually did do that, it was the same act that was passed. Almost verbatim. It was already 1,500 pages long. There's no way they put it together in a few days. It was already pre-written, and George W. Bush had already been told to sign it and be done with this. This was the great stripping of our rights in the United States, and it never stopped. Then the NSA got involved, then the National Defense Authorization Act got involved, and then it just on and on and on and on. And now here we are, 16, 17, 18 years later, with all of this junk, and we're in a situation where we have become the police state run by the KGB. You are absolutely right. Our emails are being opened. Our homes are being bugged with Amazon. All of our cell phones are being recorded. I mean, we may not have a housekeeper turning us into the KGB, but we've got the doggone Echo turning us into the doggone NSA.
Yep.
What's the difference? What's the difference, guys? And see, this is why, and Austin's right, Hagmann, Hodges, Sheila Zelinsky, Steve Quayle, Health Masters, Rents, all of these guys, all of us are out here trying to tell you guys the truth about what's happening with what's going on in our world today. And we've got to support these broadcasters. We've got to support the alternative media, because there's a whole, I'm going to tell you this right now. Now, guys, now listen to me for a second. There's a whole bunch of guys out there in the alternative media that aren't what you think they are. You got a lot of people that are saying they're one thing and they're not. You got a lot of people living two different stories here. You got a lot of people being employed by the CIA that are on alternative media bringing you disinformation all of the time. If they won't talk about Zionism, if they won't talk about the Palestinian issue, if they won't talk about the Federal Reserve Bank, if they won't talk about the drugs coming in out of Afghanistan, if they don't talk about all that stuff, if they won't talk about the Balfour Declaration, if they won't talk about the League of Nations, if they won't talk about the Council on Foreign Relations, if they don't tie all of this stuff together into a Luciferian dictatorship, one world government, and if they're not doing that, then guys, you need to be asking a question. Why are they not listening? Why are they not talking about Jesus? Why are they, you mean, remember the other day I said, if you guys are monitoring me, let me tell you who I am. I quickly told you who I was as a Christian. Why are they not talking about this? Why are they not talking about Easter? Why are they not talking about gun control? Why are they not bringing up the positive stuff that Donald Trump does? The only thing I can say this about Donald Trump. He's done a lot of positive stuff. He's done a lot of stupid stuff. But what I will say, the name of Jesus was spoken over and over again when he was inaugurated. And I've never heard that in my lifetime. So all I know is I personally believe, and I believe all the people who support him believe this too, and who have supported him in the past believe this, is that when he came into this office, he came in with a clear motive and a clear conscience and a clear heart, really wanting to make America great again. What he didn't understand was the depths of depravity and control to which we had already sunk going into the New World Order. He didn't get that. For some reason, he missed the memo on that. And I guess he thought he could come in and just fix it through his personality. And apparently, he's got a bunch of stuff in his background and his past that's pretty negative, and he doesn't want people to know about it, or else he wouldn't be capitulating to this stuff. Or his family has been threatened repeatedly, or his business enterprises have been threatened repeatedly, or the bank, the Rothschild Bank, who basically financed him back in the 80s, have said, we're going to call on all your loans if you don't stop doing this. Uh-oh, did I just say that? Oops, shouldn't have said that. Uh-oh, shouldn't have said that one. Yeah, but I did, didn't I? And that's right. The Rothschilds bailed him out back in the 80s. And so he may still owe them millions of dollars. And remember something, guys. What you guys know that have been involved in big business or in borrowing money before is a term called cross-collateralization. Now, what does that mean? That means, let's say Donald Trump owns 20 homes. Okay? Let's say he owns 20 businesses. Let's say he owns 20 hotels. Let's say he owns 20 golf courses. So he has all of these 100 items that are all part of his Trump empire. He goes in and he says, I need to borrow $5 billion or $10 billion or $20 billion against this one hotel. The bank goes, oh, no there, bozo. We're not going to let you do that. You're going to have to cross-collateralize the $20 billion. In other words, you're going to have to sign over assets on everything. In other words, yep. Every single thing you own will now be encumbered. So if you default on this $5 billion or $10 billion or $20 billion here, everything goes away. We take it all. And if you want to continue to run your businesses, you have to get our permission. And if you don't get our permission, we're going to send a state attorney over to you and put a U.S. Marshal in your shop. And if you come into that doggone business again or that building again, we're going to put you under arrest because we're going to take it all, and it will be in your loan covenant, and we'll take your stuff. Guys, this is what happens when you start getting into high-level finance. The banks don't want to take risks for this kind of money, so they cross-collateralize the debt. Every single thing you own gets cross-collateralized into the one loan. So even if you've cross-collateralized before, they just do a jumbo loan. They wrap all that stuff into the same loan so they maintain the control of all of these different assets. We don't know if Trump has done that. We don't know that. Now, I don't see how in the world he did it, you know, without having some cross-collateralization, unless he had some other money coming in from other sources who didn't want to be divulged on who they were. I don't know. I don't care. I don't want to know. All I know is this. They've got the boy figured out, and he's doing a lot of things he shouldn't ought to be doing right now, but I still believe he came in with the right intentions. Now, I wasn't going to mention this, but I want to talk about this for just one second. Another Ethiopian pastor has been killed during a late baptism by a crocodile. Now, you think, what the heck does that have to do with Trump? Absolutely nothing. But I want to talk about this for a second. It has nothing to do with Trump. It has nothing to do with anything on the show today. But what it is, what it has to do with this is common sense. You know, when Jesus himself was told to jump off the temple by Lucifer, and Lucifer started quoting scripture to him and said that the angels would come underneath him and hold and lift him up, and not he would not be hurt if he jumped off the temple. That would have been a true statement. Jesus could have done that, and that would have happened. But here's the deal. These are reptiles, okay? If every so often an Ethiopian pastor or an African pastor gets eaten by a crocodile trying to baptize people, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we just have a little well and a little trough, or maybe a cattle feeder or a cattle waterer that we fill up with water, and we baptize somebody without walking into the lake that's infested with crocodiles? Just maybe we don't need to step off the temple. And people say, well, shouldn't that guy have been protected? Well, number one, there's a book that was written years ago. It's called Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption. Number one, faith is one thing. Foolishness is something else. Presumption is something else. It's being foolish to step in front of a semi-truck at 80 miles an hour saying, yeah, it's not going to hit me. Okay, God's going to protect me. Okay, chances are they'll be scraping you up off the road. The problem is this, guys. These people have to understand that you don't really talk to reptiles. They kind of do what they want to do. I loathe alligators here. I mean, I loathe them. I loathe them. Also got tags again to go shoot gators this year. I'm going with him. I mean, I've had enough of it. When you live with these things and you see these 13, 14, 15, 16 foot Jurassic Park wannabes walking around, you kind of go, I don't care for this thing. I don't really want to be around this thing. I don't want to be swimming in it. I haven't been swimming in a freshwater lake in years and years and years, and there's a reason for that. The stuff that swims in the lakes out here is a lot bigger than I am. And I quite frankly don't want to be out there trying to get out of one of their jaw clutches or one of their death rolls. So guys, if you go swimming down here and you see these things, or you go alligator gigging or shooting or whatever, you get to watch one of these rolls, these boys go into a death roll, you'll quickly understand that's probably not something you want to swim with. I have swam, whatever that proper term is, with alligators at parks before. I mean, I've actually had them swim underneath me, but they weren't big. They were 3 and 4 feet long. And even that kind of gave me the eebie-jeebies. If one of these things 16 feet long had gone underneath me, I'd be like, I got to get out of the water right now. I don't really feel comfortable doing this. Guys, faith, foolishness, and presumption. Be careful what you do. By the way, low iodine in women, changing the subject again, by the way, low iodine in women has now been shown to lower the IQs in women who are born to them. This is important because this goes back to fluorine and chlorine and bromine, which are halogens. Now, they tie up the doggone iodine, basically trigger sites, absorption sites in the body, and they prevent you from getting enough iodine. Now, what we found is this. If a woman doesn't have a high enough level of iodine when she's pregnant, it massively increases the risks of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer for men, pancreas, and thyroid cancer. And these cancers are increasing at epidemic rates. And they've also found out that pregnant women doesn't have enough iodine, she will actually lower the IQ in her child. Researchers in England have examined the relationship between maternal preconception before the child is conceived, iodine status, and their offspring's cognitive function, IQ level, at age 6 to 7 years. And the scientists measured the urinary iodine status of women approximately 3 years before conception. And interestingly, the median urinary iodine measurement in those women was 108.4, which classified these women as iodine deficient. The level is similar to the average iodine of most women who get pregnant in the United States, and they have lower IQ levels when they do this. So it's very important that you keep your iodine levels high if you're planning on getting pregnant. I cannot emphasize to you the importance of getting off chlorine and fluorine and not having it compete with receptor sites for the iodine, especially if you're trying to get pregnant. Austin, what do you think?
It's very, very important. A lot of times, because people just think, you know, and they stay hydrated, they just pretty much drink wherever water they can get the source from, and that's simply not the case. If we actually had a true, pure, you know, you're getting like raw, like mountain water, something like that, that's a different story. But 95% of the population is drinking tap water or exposed to tap water. So it's very important when you're drinking this, you're drinking distilled water. That's why we sell the distillation systems. And, you know, we also carry the AquaTrace mineral suspension that you pour into it after it's done. So you really have a true, fully distilled water, and then you add in your mineral support to it to keep your electrolytes balanced. But it's so important that you constantly tell people about this that you're around, because I've helped so many people just on a daily basis, even friends that I know and people that I've been around, with getting them to drink better water when you start to explain to them what fluoride is and what it does. You know, we talk about it on the show all the time, so it's not something we have to elaborate on all the time here, but most people don't understand how toxic it is. But one also thing, too, that you have to remember, and this is something that's funny because I had a conversation over the weekend. I was on vacation with Landon. I always like to hang out with people that have at least similar goals as far as with fitness, with lifestyle, with diet, with everything, because the aspect of it is Dad just said at the beginning of the show, bad company corrupts good character. And that's not just with a lot of things people think about, you know, with, oh, if they're doing this, it's going to corrupt me here. That can play a role in almost every area of your life, and one of those being diet. Perfect example now, a new study that is being worked on by researchers is saying that if your friends eat unhealthy, you more than likely will be eating unhealthy as well. Researchers at the University of Southern California came up with a comprehensive algorithm that evaluated the effect of peer influence and how much a person leads their life. The model is an algorithm that offers health practitioners the tools to actually help peer support groups. And they said the model suggests that people to turn around as far as with their diet, and not just with their diet, but their overall behavioral changes, they have to change the people that they hang around as well. But one aspect about that they did in the study was with food. It found that people that hung out with people that constantly ate fast food, that constantly ate refined carbs, that constantly drank sodas, that constantly drank alcohol, they too consume those foods on a regular basis as well. So if you're trying to get in better shape, if you're trying to be healthier, if you're trying to be leaner, if you're trying to be stronger, if you're trying to take care of this body that we only have one of, by the way, we don't get to trade it in every couple months for a new one or swap it out, there's only one you have, you have to start understanding that you want to be around people that eat the same way as you do. When you go on vacation with somebody, for example, do you want to go on vacation with somebody and say you guys rent a house together and you get to the house and everybody in the house but you has pork chops and fried chicken fingers and macaroni and cheese and ice cream and gallons of beer and they fill up the fridge and you got to try to squeeze in your Tupperware and your chicken and rice and your broccoli in the middle of there while everybody else grubs out on garbage all weekend, you got to eat your clean food. Now, can you do that? Absolutely. I've done that many times when I've hung out with people. However, a lot of people, when they're struggling with overweight issues, when they're struggling with blood sugar, when they're struggling with overall health decisions that need to be made, it can be very difficult for people to resist those type of food temptations when everybody around them is eating. So when you go on vacation, choose to have people around you that when you open your cooler and they open your cooler, you're trying to figure out whose food is who because it's so similar you can barely even tell. That's how you want to be around people when you're trying to eat clean. People that don't want to stop at McDonald's every 2 hours to get a McFlurry and French fries because they're having another carb, you know, a depression attack and they need to get their blood sugar back up because they haven't had a McFlurry in 2 hours or a soda or whatever the case may be. Hang out with people that are going to influence you positively, especially when it comes to diet and health and overall lifestyle decisions. And make sure if you do have friends, that doesn't mean you can't be around people that eat garbage or do that, as Dad said earlier, but you need to make sure that you are trying to influence them and they are not influencing you and you do not allow yourself to be influenced by them, especially on a regular basis. And if that means you can only hang out with those people or see them on a very semi-regular basis, then so be it. But if they know what you're doing and they see the way you look and they see your lifestyle and they see the direction you're going and they don't want to model those things and they don't believe that eating healthier and exercising and being in better shape is going to be good for them, is it somebody that you really do truly want to hang out with in general if they don't even have your similar beliefs or ideas or goals? So that's just my kind of take on it. But after I read this article about what the researchers are saying here, it makes it very, very clear. That's why I wanted to bring it up, because what you put yourself around, what people do around you is eventually going to become what you do, especially if you're around that all the time and they're constantly eating this junk and they're constantly bringing this junk over to your home and everything else. You have to make a stand on it and you need to be that example for other people to see instead of capitulating and giving in to all these other things that most people do on a regular basis, Dad.
You know, years ago, Austin, probably 1994, 25 years ago, 28 years ago, I went to I went river rafting up in North Carolina, actually in Georgia on the Chattooga River. We did the hardest whitewater section they had. It was in the spring or the summer, I can't remember. And there was a minivan that we took up there with a camper, and I went up with a bunch of guys from the church. Forget this, one of the guys in the minivan bought a bucket, like a 2 gallon bucket of Red Hots for him and his son. And they literally ate the Red Hots the entire time. All they wanted to do was stop at McDonald's. All they wanted to do was get Egg McMuffins. I mean, and I'm sitting there going, I can't eat here, guys.
Yep.
You know the story I'm talking about.
Yep.
And it was so bad. Finally, you know, I brought all my motivational tapes. I brought Jim Rohn and Zig Ziglar to listen to, and my Christian artists, and all the stuff that I want to hear on the stereo. And so I got to sit up in the front seat for a few hours and basically listen to my music and listen to my Christian speakers. And, you know, and so something that was really edifying and uplifting. So soon, basically, it was my turn to rotate to the back of the van. So I no longer had control. So they brought their heathen rock music like Def Leppard and a bunch of other things. And they started playing the music. I mean, wide open in the van. Now, guys, this is going to sound really weird to you, okay? It's like we're coming home now, and I'm in the middle of this van. We're almost right south of Atlanta, and they're playing this music. And I'd had enough of the Red Hots. I had enough of the Red Hot rappers. I had enough of the – I would, because I wasn't eating this stuff. And finally, we got to a point. I said, you know, guys, it's one thing to force me to listen to heathen music. I don't want to listen to this. I said, you guys are all supposed to be Christians. I would have never come on a trip that I know we're going to listen to this filthy, filthy music. And I said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want it in my spirit. So I tell you what, you need to stop at the next rest area and let me off. And I said, what do you mean? I said, I'm getting out. And they said, well, you get out in the middle of the interstate? I said, yeah, I'm going to call a taxi. I'll take a taxi home if I have to. I don't care. I'll go back to Atlanta and fly home. I said, I don't care. I said, I'm not listening to this for another 7 hours. And I remember they were shocked. But I wasn't joking. I got pretty hot. And so they turned off the music. And years later, one of the kids in the class ended up being a pastor, and he told me later, he says, you know, you were right. He says, you meant so much to us, to me. He says that you stood your ground and you refused to listen to that stuff, and you said you weren't going to. You'd rather take a taxi back to the airport. And he just said, it really made a difference that you took a stand. Guys, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what people bring into your home. Be careful if you're being forced to listen to music you don't want to listen to. If somebody's making you listen to rap music and it's talking about how many cops you want to cap today and all of the stuff and all the F words, you need to say, don't really want to hang out with this person, not one of these people that are going to really be a good influence on anything about my life. And so just walk away and say, I'll be done. I won't go. And I did. I never went on another trip with any of the people in that van because I wasn't going to do it ever. By the way, canola oil is now up to 3 million metric tons being used in the United States every single year. And now they're finding that it massively increases the plaques and tangles in common brain characteristics for Alzheimer's patients. Guys, don't eat canola oil. It makes your memory go to yuck yuck. It's unbelievably bad for you. It's toxic. Don't put it in your body in any concentrations. Check your labeling. Check your packaging. Guys, I love you. I'm glad you got to go down memory lane with me today. just do all kinds of crazy stories today. You guys are awesome. I got the opportunity, the precious opportunity to pray for you again this morning. I pray that God continues to bless you, that his face continues to shine upon you, that you're continuing to be protected. I pray for God's protection upon all of you guys. I'm also praying for prosperity for you guys, that you're going to be blessed. Because guys, I'll say one thing about Health Masters, we are good soil. You know, we are out here doing what we do and saying what we say and acting how we act, and we do it whether you're here or we're not here or we're together. We're always like this. We always practice what we preach, and we always, our walk actually walks louder than our talk talks, and that's the truth. If you guys ever come down here and we have lunch or dinner with us, you'll get an organic meal. I love you. Thanks for being our friends. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for your support. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Austin, close it up. I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate all the support, guys, and thank you for all the emails, all the comments, everything that you guys send us on a regular basis. It really is nice to know so many people we can help out, and we love getting feedback too. Especially, you know, I get that a lot from people that they're trying a different supplement, or they started on the multiple powder or something of that sort, and they're getting such good results with it. We love getting feedback like that because, A, we get to see, hear from our customers how good they're doing, but also, too, we know what products are working incredibly well over some others, over some more than others. So it's really good to see stuff like that. So be sure, if you guys need anything, to check out the healthmasters.com website. We just got another fresh batch of the beef jerky in. We're also carrying, as you guys know, the Vive anti-wrinkle and shampoo and conditioner, which we're switching over to. Great formula. And, of course, we still have the B-Complex on our Super Summer Sale for over 30% off right now, which is a heck of a deal. A lot of people have been buying a couple bottles of that and getting really good results from it over the last couple weeks, including multiple other kits that we have as well on the website right now at healthmasters.com. So we appreciate all the support, guys. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you guys again tomorrow, as always.